the trad wives leaving high-control Christian nationalist communities.
You were the trad wife before trad wives became a thing.
I saw Stepford Wives, the Stepford Wives, just last night. Saw it with my partner. Hadn't seen it before. Knew only of the reference, not of the source material.
Online. So I was very much like isolated at home. I kept having babies. I was pregnant and or nursing for 13 years.
Wow.
And
that's not great.
Then when my oldest was around 4, we started like loosely homeschooling. That was one of the things that I argued with my husband a lot about. I'm a very like, I like very free, creative, like that kind of educational model. And my husband is much more academically minded. I was expected to do it his way. And it was incredibly difficult and, never went well. But I persisted because that's the Christian thing to do. I would also say that a lot of these things are, the system teaches you to moralize everything. Everything that you do is life or death, all the decisions that you make. So like healthcare are you going to vaccinate your kids, which we were anti-vax and we're not anymore. That's a life or death decision because your children could be permanently harmed from vaccines. So you better make the right decision. And so everything is high stakes in that way.
I know a lot of these women are abuse victims, but they're also in many cases abuse perpetrators to their children. I don't want to absolve women entirely. It would be different if it was still like the 1950s where women have basically like not no autonomy, but like way less than they do now. But nowadays I like without knowing more, I have to assume some degree of mutual complicity in the way that the environment turned out. It's like Lauren Southern. Like Lauren Southern quit making content and did the trad wife thing and then left it because her husband was a piece of shit. But like she advocated for that for years before doing it herself. So like I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to take from that. Like you were part of the pro touching the stove party, and then you touched the stove and now you regret it. I don't know what I'm supposed to make of that, you know?
And as someone who's like trying to be a good person, trying to follow God, trying to be a good Christian, that was one of the reasons that I was so bought in because I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good support person for my husband. I want to serve God well by being a good wife. And that is how I serve God. So that affects everything. You want to do these things. And when the system tells you, this is how you can be a good person.
She did a nice video about leaving the trad wife life. This woman specifically, is this woman? Her hair is different. Maybe a different woman on the panel. How I Escaped MAGA Critical Thinking Woke Me Up. Well, I mean, I'm glad if people are leaving it, I guess just like, do it before you get married and have kids. I'm being a little disagreeable. Maybe. I am curious about this though. Totally different person. I can't tell all white women, you know. I don't know. This is going to be more of a problem going forward though, right? Because the political project that Republican men are advancing right now is one that is completely contemptuous of women. Like they actively fucking despise women. They hate women. And even Republican women often bristle at this, right? The gender divide in terms of political affiliation is only getting larger and larger with time. So I think that, like, you know, given enough time, right, you're going to see more of this. We're going to have, like, yeah, South Korea-style gender split. Though, thankfully, a lot of men are pulling leftwards as well. I just dropped my damn earbud. I'm not saying you have to feel sorry for these people, but a lot of them are genuinely indoctrinated by people they know and trust from the time they're infants. No, 100% for sure. It's just that, keep in mind, that's also true for the men, but we would not hesitate to criticize them. Like lots of evangelical Republican men are basically like born into the grooming cult and we still feel licensed to hate them. So I don't want to infantilize anyone just because they're women.
Person, this is how you can be a good wife. You're like, okay, I will do it. And it does, it simplifies it.
Hmm. But it must be so stressful to every day think these decisions I'm making are life or death and yeah. Such high stakes and God is judging me and am I being pure enough? And
you're literally so in your head the whole time, making sure that you're right. And there's so many rules to do, and the standard is so high, you're constantly working, that you're literally too busy to have thoughts outside of just keeping up with your life, with your obedience. You're literally performing obedience so much every day, there isn't room for you to start to be like, oh, and reflect, and, you know, did that feel right? Did that have a good outcome? Was that even effective, you know?
Now you're deconstructing from that life.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, now my husband jokes that he's the trad wife.
My family was a small family, actually. We had 5 kids.
That's considered small, 5
that's
kids.
That's very small. I had friends and connections throughout, like, all of conservative evangelicalism, not any one group. And, oh, my goodness, everybody had, like, 8 to 12 kids at least. You know, there's the occasional family that they could only have 2 kids. And so they did, but almost everybody was 8 to 12 kids or more. More was not uncommon either. So my options with the Reformed groups were maybe become a midwife, but get married to a guy who's like 8 years older than you, have a bunch of children, live at home forever and ever. And I love education. I love learning. I love science especially, and I really like grabbed onto that in our homeschool group. That was my thing. That was what I enjoyed. Science, chemistry especially. And my best friend's family started going, you know, you can go to college. You can learn more.
You'll notice how almost none of this is actually following the Bible. Yeah, that's like the whole point of Protestantism, right? By not having a pope or even like a grand patriarch, you don't have a central authority from which to derive interpretation of scripture. It really just comes down to your family and your local church. You could have a local cult leader who just, you know, who gives sermons to like 200 or 300 people, and that's your Christianity. And like it's not about the Bible, it's about the way you're framing it. There's not really any like second check to it. There's no like checks and balances. What do you think Protestantism is? I mean, it doesn't defer to papal authority, if I remember correctly.
Have that option, going to college.
No. Really? College wasn't an option. No,
you were just to get married.
<So silly.
laughs> Get married and then just
nobody
become
actually listens to the Pope. I need you to understand that the variance between Protestant churches in America is much greater than the variance between Catholic churches across Christendom, across the Catholic world. I promise you. We don't need to do this again. I'm just telling you that, like, that is a byproduct of not having any greater authority to defer to.
A trad wife.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have as many kids as possible.
Yeah. And that was not my favorite option.
No, it's very pagan. It's very pagan.
But what the more charismatic groups were kind of pulling me in for was more of a Christian nationalist leader type. Because women could actually be leadership in Christian nationalism if you were the right strain. And that was better. That was a better option. So I went to the college that essentially that family picked out for me. I would not have chosen that for myself, I don't think. But I compromised with my parents and didn't burn bridges, and I went for music instead of science or something like that. So in a lot of ways, like, even if it's not the most, even if my family was not the ones who were driving every step of my path, like, everything I did was for other people and for other people's expectations.
It's not just about the Pope itself. Catholic Church has entire institutions whose job it is to study texts academically. Yeah, I think a lot of people forget, but Catholicism historically has always been a very academic institution. The most well-read, learned people in Europe for like 1,000 years were Catholic priests and monks. They were like the only motherfuckers who be like that, you know? You go to monasteries for their books. Like, there was, they were centers of learning, not to say that they were right about all that shit they believed. Yeah, the Jews as well, 100%. But modern day, like, evangelical, it's like anti-intellectual on every level. There is no evangelical equivalent for a person getting like a master's in divinity in order to read the sacred text, in order to like argue in a scholarly sense for biblical law. Even for evangelicals, if you can run like a televangelist scheme, if you can pitch people to send money to your church, you're a good evangelical right there. You've made it. Congratulations. If you're a salesman, you're qualified.
I didn't really have autonomy. I didn't have choices. I made the best choices that I could without completely burning my life down around me.
Could you have gone to make your own money and that kind of thing and have your own?
That was a constant fight. I didn't.
Did they believe that girls and women shouldn't work outside the home, basically?
Yeah. It was not super even heard of. Like, you can teach music. You can become a midwife. Those are kind of your options if you're a woman. Yeah. You can't go out and do much else.
I'm curious how you were treated differently from, like, how your brothers were treated versus you.
So I actually had probably the best experience as this goes because I only had a younger brother. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a ton of younger siblings. But even that, with just one brother who was 2.5 years younger than me, the work that I was responsible to do versus him, like, I was cooking all of the meals, like Danny said earlier, I was cooking all of the meals every weekend. My brother wasn't responsible to do any of that. I was working.
Are trad wives really a big thing, though? I would argue that the aspirational attention trad wives are given is more of a problem than trad wives themselves. Like, there aren't many quote-unquote trad wives, but there are a lot of young women who are raising themselves to admire a set of principles that value things like deference to men, subservience. Like, for instance, that haha, I'm just a girl bit, you know? Like, it's fine, you can say it. I'm not saying it's problematic. It's just, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's risen along with the recent rising tide of fascism that makes me think that women are, in many cases, internalizing certain negative values, in my opinion.
Full-time job all through nannying other people's kids, all through middle school and high school, and I was still being punished for not keeping the house clean enough. Even though I wasn't there, I was literally living at a different house 4 days a week. Boys were supposed to be educated, but girls were supposed to learn to be keepers at home. And so it was not just help your mom. It was actually like perform being a wife now, perform being a housewife now, learn all the skills on the level that you'll need when you are a mother and need to sew your own whole family's wardrobe, make food from scratch. So they were literally going out of their way to find more things for us to do, to find more projects and skills.
Islam is even more scholastic followers. Yes, I've heard that. That Islam tends to be very, yeah. I mean, so is, like, in fairness, so is Judaism. Judaism is probably disproportionately the most so, considering the Jewish culture's affinity for everyone being a, you know, fucking nerd. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, it's more to the point that all of the Abrahamic religions are very similar, except for evangelical Christians who are not Christians. You know, I'm just saying, like, it's adding more to the idea that that particular branch of Protestantism really doesn't bear much of a resemblance to the rest of Christianity or Abrahamism.
For us to learn. So we were busy and tired. Just in our country as it is right now, girls' access to leisure time, even outside of these circles, is greatly reduced from boys. But in these circles, I mean, I've heard you talk about how, like, the boys would be outside playing for hours and hours when you guys were still inside doing chores.
Yeah, my older sisters were waking up with babies at night.
I had the 4 a.m. shift.
I was changing diapers when I was 7-8 years old of younger siblings, feeding them, taking care of them, like,
and not just like once in a while for fun.
No, like as a general rule.
Yeah. Like, you got in trouble if you didn't do it.
Yeah, like, who was going to watch the baby if you don't take care of the baby?
What was the hierarchy in your households?
Well, God, Jesus, pastor, elders,
okay,
dad, wife, kids.
Older brothers.
Oh yeah, older brothers.
Older brothers.
It's go true.
Before the.
Yeah, girls. There was sibling hierarchy as well. So, like, the older siblings could discipline.
This is insane. Yeah. Also, again, to draw the distinction, I don't know. I've never really heard of a Catholic community referring to their local priest as part of a hierarchy of authority. Like, okay, I might be totally out of my purview here, but it's very, very common in the evangelical communities for local pastors to be like an actual authority. Like, you have to listen to them. They're like a direct link between you and God. They talk to you like they they are the envoy, you know, if you fuck it up with them. But with Catholicism, the way I've heard it, a lot of priests are basically, they treat it like a job, because there are so many Catholic churches, so many Catholic priests. It's like, okay, our local priest, the real hierarchy is you and God, but like the priest is just the priest. He's not the Pope. If you have a local priest who's a dick, he can be a dick. You can still be a Catholic. You're not infinitely deferential to this one specific interpretation of text. You know, it could just be like this priest is just a worker in the Catholic hierarchy, you know? Rural Catholics can be big guys in their town. That's true. It also does correlate a lot to like rural versus urban. That's true. For sure. I've been on both sides of the fence because one half my family is Protestant going back, one half is Catholic going back. So I've been to both, and I don't know. It's just a very different vibe. We've been on this a lot lately, but it's important because, you know, religiosity is kind of the driving force behind the whole like apocalyptic war in the Middle East, the apocalyptic posturing. Yeah, a priest is appointed by a bureaucracy. If you have a local shitty priest, it doesn't mean that like your community is now infinitely bound to that one priest's interpretation of the text. It means that they're part of a big bureaucracy where the church just gave that church a shitty priest. They can just be an asshole. You can take it up a level, mail your bishop or something, you know? You can, hey, this guy's an asshole or something. They couldn't get away with as much. I feel like a third of the evangelical pastors out there are like, yeah, God wants you to give me your daughters or whatever. Because that's the whole point of cults, right? I don't know with the priests. The priests don't do that. The priests, they just molest the boys, but they do it because they're on the choir or whatever. It's kind of a different dynamic. It's not good when they do that. Hot take. Grandpa's male bishops about priests all the time. It's really funny for me to imagine the idea of like, getting mad at a priest, so you send a letter to the local cathedral. I don't know. It's very funny. Very, very funny to think about.
Yeah. AKA spank the younger kids.
Yeah. The siblings could punish each other.
Mm-hmm. Like corporal punish.
Yeah, we were told to. I mean, as the oldest kid, I was told to. Like, that's how I was told to handle things.
I was the black sheep. I was
You have 10, 12, 14 children. Yeah. You can't possibly keep track of all of them. And so you have to enlist your older children to look out for it.
Yeah, the husband and the older brothers teach the little girls how to be good wives. Like, younger sisters treat their older brothers and their fathers the way you're meant to treat your husband in the future. Like, it's like trad wife training your whole life.
Your siblings. It's very isolated. And so all your entire community, your entire world is the church.
Grooming, for sure. Evangelical is innately pedophilic. You've seen those like purity balls, chastity promises, chastity rings, where it looks like the dad's proposing to the daughter. Oh, there's some fucked up stuff in this country, man. Fucked up stuff.
You are homeschooled almost exclusively. And so you're not, there's no other basis. It's all within the church. If you have extracurriculars, you're being taught piano by someone in the church. You're being taught another language by someone in the church. It's just very insulated. So if you leave, you leave everything. You leave everything that you've ever known.
And it really does come down to like a focus on purity. It's just everybody's purity is a little different. Mm-hmm. But like you have to be, it's not just within the sexual context that like we usually would say.
I feel like this is also like anti-Christian doctrine, because every Catholic I've ever heard speak has made it extremely clear that no man is without sin. The evangelical insistence on posturing as though you can live a life of purity comes across as like, I don't know. There was one guy who lived a pure life, and his name was Jesus Christ, and he's been dead for a while. This obsession with life, that's the whole point of confession. I don't know.
Purity culture around, but it's also within... it's within the books that you're reading and the types of Christians you're associating with and the music you're listening to. You have to be pure in all of it.
Definitely a direct demonization of intuition and your feelings. So you're just like walking through life, following what you're being told to do when it doesn't feel right. And I think that the impact of that on maybe especially women and our bodies, the way that so many of our bodies have broken down and there's so much chronic illness, has to be part of that, because you are required to ignore your natural instincts.
how many of us disciplined our children in a way that felt wrong. And we knew.
It feels like Orthodox Jews on crack. Well, like, Haredi Jews aren't that dissimilar to this. Very Orthodox Jews are in a lot of ways very similar to this. There's a lot of commonalities in how just far right, ultra Orthodox religious practices kind of overlap, you know?
That it felt wrong and it went against our intuition, and we did it anyway because we were required to do it to fit in. That's like one example of like a grief that you just ignored for the sake of doing what you were told to do.
What made you finally leave?
I had a daughter.
Remember Mike Purity Ball Johnson? Yeah, I remember this man. It's crazy how much these people control our fucking government. It's like so grim.
A new controversy has erupted around House Speaker Mike Johnson, and I'm trying to assess, I don't know how big a deal this is or ought to be. ABC News uncovered a TV segment today from 2015 showing Speaker Johnson attending a controversial formal dance event called a Purity Ball with his then 13-year-old daughter. Segment from German news station NTV features clips of Johnson and his daughter Hannah at the ball, putting a corsage on her wrist, and shows Johnson's daughter vowing to him to live a life of purity, as well as her signing a pledge to abstain from sex until marriage. Oddly enough, the video has now disappeared from the internet, despite the ABC report linking to it on the German TV station's website. And you click on the link, you see it starting to load, and then it says it's no longer available. Well, I don't know why, but these purity balls were popular, especially in the early 2000s, among some conservative Christians. Dads wear tuxedos, the daughter dressing a ball gown, the reporter in the piece commenting, "This looks like a wedding, but they are not bride and groom, but rather father and daughter." Johnson's wife, who's a Christian counselor, telling the station sex before marriage is simply out of the question. Left, of course, will have a field day over this, fueling the narrative that Johnson's a religious kook, which has been a talking point for them. But I don't know, maybe this is pretty wacky. I just don't know enough about it. Joining me now is Linda K. Klein, author of the book Pure, Inside the Evangelical Movement That Shamed a Generation of Young Women and How I Broke Free.
It's extremely pedophilic, and it's also very common.
Thanks very much for coming on the show. Appreciate it. All right, so you say this is a big deal. Tell me why.
Absolutely. Because what this reveals is that we are talking about not a mainstream conservative Christian, but a extremist. Really, even among purity culture advocates, purity balls are extreme. You know, a lot of folks, even within the movement, find them a little creepy.
Do you? How much did you experience dealing with things like purity balls?
Yeah, I did grow up within purity culture, but I did not grow up within the kind of extremist culture that we're talking about that does these purity balls. I mean, just to give you a little bit of a sense.
Look at this, man. It's the dad in a tuxedo and the little 13-year-old girl in a bridal gown. And it's a ball between them where she's pledging to not have sex with anyone but her future husband. And she's pledging it to her dad. And this woman is correct that purity balls are not that common, because this is like a very formal, very upscale, like wealthy evangelical kind of event. But the sentiment underlying this, like purity pledges and the idea that daughters owe their fathers their virginities until marriage, that is, I would not only say common among evangelicals, but actually like the predominant position.
Purity ball is really something that you've got a group of, oftentimes a very traditional purity ball. You've got a group of young children, girls around the age of 12, 13, along there. They're in gowns that are not just ball gowns, but white ball gowns, wedding gowns in many ways. And they're fathers. And together, their fathers are in suits or tuxedos, and they have a dance and they have a dinner. And it culminates at the end with this sort of placing of the purity ring, often on the ring ring finger, the girl's ring finger, as a promise to her father and also to her father in heaven that she will not defile her sexual purity before marriage, not just not have sex, but defile her sexual purity in any way. And then eventually the idea is that this ring stays on her finger until it is replaced by her wedding ring by her husband, which essentially symbolizes the transfer of ownership over her sexuality from her father to her husband.
Let me read you. This is from the Washington Stand. It's run by the Family Research Council, an evangelical group. The headline is, Mike Johnson is a good father. The left hates him for it. That is a beautiful commitment, though one might wonder why ABC finds it newsworthy, because ABC is the one who broke the story. As they come of age, young girls should be thinking about the future effects of their decisions for themselves and others. Such guidance could spare many women the heartbreaks and despair caused by hookup culture.
They control our government, man. There are a lot of evangelicals in government. If you count people who are deferential to them, there are a lot more.
What do you make of that?
Absolutely agree that girls should be encouraged to make their own choices. Unfortunately, purity culture does not teach girls how to make their own choices. It tells them what their choice has to be. And what their choice within purity culture has to be is to maintain their utter and absolute purity. And purity, again, is much larger than whether you have sex before marriage. It has to do with purity of thought, purity of mind, making sure that you don't inspire sexual thoughts within a man or a boy by what you wear or how you walk or how you talk or anything about you. So we really are talking about the erasure of choice, not the offer.
Don't you think these kinds of values also inform a lot of the incel movement in that they're bitter that they don't own women and aren't able to have like child brides? Yeah, yeah, for sure. 100%. People embittered by the fact that the only way they would have ever had a girlfriend in the past was that women literally needed a husband to survive. For sure, yeah.
Ring of choice. I do believe that girls and women should have choices, and not having sex before marriage.
When conservatives, rail against feminism, what they're complaining about is that they can't do this to young girls, essentially.
Is a absolutely fine and healthy choice among many.
Thank you for watching. Go to News Nation.
You're not welcome. Anyway, yeah, that's how evangelicals are pedophiles, I guess. Breakdown of Congress by religion, over half is Protestant, which is higher than national average, and a significant portion of those are going to be evangelical. Though keep in mind, evangelical is not a formal categorization, so it's not something that they would necessarily self-identify as. As an example, T.I. the rapper went with his daughter on OBGYN appointments and had the doctor report if the hymen was intact. Cool. Well.